Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And off we go. It is an interesting. It was an interesting weekend reading a lot of the D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caley quotes and seeing of their press conference. Lance and I were not here on Friday, so we didn't talk about it. But it was kind of eye-opening. And there was an ESPN story, as a matter of fact, that got into why Bobby Slowik is no longer with us here in the city of Houston. Apparently, he didn't have a lot of ringing endorsements. D'Amico said that he went around to players and asked them about Bobby Slowik, and he didn't get any ringing endorsements for, I don't know that he didn't get any, but he didn't get a bunch of ringing endorsements for Bobby Slowik. One player said, I don't think we knew who the F we were, which tells you one thing immediately, that was not C.J. Stroud that was quoted, because C.J. would never say, we didn't know who the F we were, right?
No, I think we've talked about this. This is definitely a lot of this is player driven, is what we found out. They kind of let that slip through a lot of the quotes and everything that have come out. I don't think this is a D'Amico deal. As a matter of fact, I mean, in the article it basically says it's not. He basically checked in on people and checked around people. I think Slowik had an issue with some of the players in the locker room, maybe the ownership too. I don't know that for a fact, but I do know the ownership gave him a raise last year, and I don't think they thought they got their money's worth. But, you know, we've gone down this road. It is interesting to talk about, and now that we're starting to have some of the things that maybe we kind of believed were true confirmed, I think it's a matter of Slowik is going to be the one that's talked about most because he's the offense coordinator, but and play caller, but, you know, there was a serious offensive line issue, and the coach needed to be changed. But frankly, some of the players need to be changed. They got a cancer in the locker room. They've got positions that they I think they'll cap cut the right guard. They've got some changes to be made. There's guys up front who aren't doing their job. So some of those same guys who didn't give ringing endorsements probably don't deserve ringing endorsements from anyone else, if you really want to know the truth. So CJ's got to play better this year. Nick Caley's got to do his job, obviously, as always. Nick Caley talked about the fact that he's not going to fit. He's not going to try to pound a square peg into a round hole. He talked about he's going to play to the strengths of his players. That, to me, and then D'Amico Ryans had something else that he said about John. D'Amico had a quote where he said something to the effect of, I have to read what the quote was, but you could tell it was pretty easy to read between the lines that those were comments on Slowik.
Well, and listen, I mean, we make fun of halftime adjustments, but there were no adjustments. As a matter of fact, when you go five straight weeks when you don't score a second half touchdown, those guys are catching up to you and you ain't doing anything about it. You can't go five straight weeks and not score a second half touchdown. That's just too terrible. D'Amico did talk about the offensive line and how the offensive line wasn't doing its job. And, you know, even Titus Howard said the quarterback's getting hit too much. So, it's not all on Bobby. You're absolutely right. This offensive line has got to block better. They got to coach him up better. They've got to block better. CJ's got to throw the ball better. They've got to figure out wide receivers.
There's a lot going on here.
They got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, it's not like there's a lot of people who try to. And this is pretty much. And this isn't really just Texas thing. This is almost a life thing where everyone in life, you know, instead of looking at all the instead of taking a macro view of what the issues are, people like to micro view it. because it makes them feel better. Like, well, if they just change this, everything gets better. And that's rarely the case in life. I don't care if it's your economy, if it's your core, your offense, if it's your defense. You typically have several factors at play, and the idea that if you're really open-minded, you don't even have to be open-minded about it. If you're not closed-minded about it, you recognize, man, this offensive line didn't pick up stunts well. Man, some of these guys aren't laterally quick enough to get, you know, to handle twists. They physically aren't getting it done. Man, what's happening with why aren't they exploiting the quick throws and the seams? You know, that'd be a slowing thing. This is CJ's just missing open throws. We talk about it every week, John, so this is not new to us. I mean, we talked about what I thought was just pretty standard. You think it's kind of standard, easy to recognize things, and then you realize people have their own little personal agendas on Twitter, and you start seeing people say things like, you know, it's not CJ can't complete that pass because it's the offensive line. Like, but I just watched him like have all the time in the world to throw, and he missed a throw that he made all the time last year. And you start seeing you got two different realities going on here. What's actually happening on the field and the way people try to parse it so it fits their little narratives. I don't care about a freaking narrative. I just want the Texans to be efficient. I want them to be good. I want them to be dangerous. And I want them to live up to the level that I deserve as a Houston sports fan and that I said that I was going to get last year. They didn't produce it. I got out of DraftKings early with my stock and lost a ton of money. This is just a bad, bad run for me right now.
Wait a minute.
Going on,
what is,
including
I don't
Texas.
Mean, what, Del,
just the whole thing. Just the whole
Draft
thing.
DraftKings.
I deserve
Texans
certain
not
things.
Halftime adjustment.
I deserve
and
certain
King
things.
Stock.
Yes.
I don't get it.
I deserve certain things, and things are not working the way they should work for me.
No one deserves anything. You either get it or you don't.
Yeah.
But I deserve certain things, Del.
Yeah. Well, all we deserve is
what we get.
That's exactly
I feel like
right.
That's a quote.
And guess who gets Bobby Slowick? Dell.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, Dell gets Bobby Slowick.
I think Bobby Slowick is Bobby Slowick's actually considered a pretty talented coach.
No,
I think
no,
what we,
no, listen.
I think what
listen.
We saw is a guy who didn't have enough experience, frankly.
Listen, you're talking about the narrative. I caught the business from Chris in the Woodlands because, you know, I was like, hey, wait a minute. Bobby Slowick isn't that good. Why? What? You know, John, you loved him. Yeah, I did love him. And I love Nick Caley right now, but if Nick Caley doesn't perform, guess what?
that's the nature of the business.
He's going to catch it too.
That's the nature of the business.
Why do you love Nick Caley?
I love Nick Caley because he's telling me all the things he's going to do right.
Yeah. Why don't we just go wait and see? We'll see. I mean, we don't know.
We need a Nick Caley hope, like the Shepard Fairey Obama thing, the hope with the blue and the red.
Yeah,
we need a Nick Ferry looking side. You know, I think they did that with John. Don't we have one with Jed?
We got one with John. One with me.
Yeah, that's right. We got yours. We need that with Nick Caley right now. You know, looking into the abyss. I feel like it's the abyss. Sometime watching, not into the future, but into the abyss. When I watch some of the pass protection, but I thought it was an interesting. You know, I think it's an interesting dynamic of what we had. I like the things that Caley said, and I do think. Look. It's harder for me personally, I'll just admit this, to recognize predictability with this offense because this offense doesn't run the same way Gary Kubiak's did. Like Gary Kubiak's version, which was Mike Shanahan's version of the zone scheme, you run outside zone plays, right? Stretch some inside zone, but the outside zone is the one that heads towards the tackle's outside hip. And then, you know, you get on that track, and then if you read outside, and if that outside defender is contained, you keep flowing outside and take it wide. If not, you read back inside to the next defender inside, and then you start looking for, you know, you look for holes to cut back into. It's a plant and go, one cut and go. That's outside zone, and you run play action off of that, and that's the old school way, but it was super, like, if you stopped it from executing, they didn't have that offense didn't have an answer. Well, Kyle Shanahan really changed that when he got RG3, as he had to incorporate more gun, he incorporated more pistol, and they changed some different things there. And then, you know, he also started saying, okay, we can't be this predictable. And Kyle Shanahan really molded and shifted that offense where it doesn't look the same that I recognize from Gary Kubiak. And that's where what's his name, Bobby Slowick learned from. So it's not the standard, like the predictability for me. I'm kind of sometimes a little off with it because I just think of outside zone, play action, you know, the standard Gary Kubiak stuff. But the predictability now could be something as simple as, well, he's not going to exploit, you know, he's not going to exploit the seams, or he's not going to do this, or, you know, his offense isn't going to do this. And sometimes it can be offense. Sometimes it can be what CJ's looking at. But I just know that it just didn't work. It just didn't work this year. I mean, we can try to pick at this and that. It doesn't matter. It didn't work, and he's gone, and it's on to the next one. But Nick Caley, you know, I will say, I never felt like I felt like it wasn't a consistent. There would be drives, especially in the first year, where you go, man, Bobby Slowick is in his bag now. He's got people reeling. And that's that feeling where play, and you get the feeling the defense isn't catching up with what you're doing, and they're just off. Like, they're not in a defensive rhythm because you've just got them. You're hitting them with shot, and they're just a step behind. And I didn't feel like that was the case very often this year. You never felt like for a consistent game that Slowick had guys on the back foot, as we say. And hopefully Nick Caley can do more of that, where they really don't know what the tendencies are going to be.
Well, there were times, tendency-driven. Like Detroit first half.
Yeah, there were times. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just didn't. It wasn't like that for a game where he had a whole game like that, I think, is a problem.
Right. Well, the second half couldn't have been worse. The first half couldn't have been better, and the second half couldn't have been worse.
Could have been worse.
And there's even a quote in there after the game. The head coach of the Lions says, man, our defense, if it wasn't for our defense, we wouldn't. No. Well, CJ made a couple of awful passes. But CJ admitted afterwards, after this whole thing was over, losing Tank and losing Steph were awful. But having all that pressure, man, that played a big role.
Yeah, it always does with quarterbacks. I mean, it can. If you're not extraordinarily mentally tough, it can cause you to see ghosts. It can cause you to, you know, CJ's one of the big problems with CJ right now is his internal clock is not functioning properly, and he doesn't play in rhythm the way he should, because I think he's anticipating pressure, and when you anticipate, it's like a running back anticipating a hit. You know, you start to gather your feet and slow, and you don't, you know, if you're anticipating something rather than being reactive makes you a reactive player. Being a reactive player in sports is never good. In baseball, if you're reacting to a pitcher, it's hard. You know, he's now got the advantage. You've got to have some proactivity in you, and you got to have that confidence. And some of that, you know, the first step in restoring CJ's internal clock and confidence is making sure he feels protected, whether it's outwardly or just subconsciously. And that's, you know, that's going to be the job of Cole Popovich, who's the new offensive line coach, who, by the way, was on the staff last year. It's going to be the job of Nick Caley, who is his first year as an offensive coordinator. I mean, it's his first year calling plays. So, and CJ and D'Amico said in the article, well, he said at the press conference, it was very hard to let Bobby go. Bobby's a really close friend, as you all know. Bobby's a great friend of mine. Nothing but love and admiration for Bobby and what he's done. When I got into coaching, Bobby was the one to help me figure it all out. So, you know, it was one of the reasons I thought there was no way Bobby would go is D'Amico's not letting him go after one bad year and one good year. There's just no way. But, you know, if you don't have the players on board, this is a league where they make more than you, and it's hard. It's just hard. I mean, it's been happening since Magic Johnson got rid of Paul Westhead, you know. It's been happening a long time.
Yeah, I don't know that there's an uprising like Magic had, but it was Michael did.
It was a factor, though.
When Michael got rid of all of his Bulls coaches.
Well, yeah.
But
it was a factor because D'Amico mentioned it at the press conference.
Well, D'Amico lived that whole season watching his quarterback get killed, watching second half suck, watching, you know, just his offense not being near what it should have been. And actually the regression of the guy that is the most important guy in the organization, of CJ. And you can't just watch. You can't just sit back and watch that and go, it's okay. Listen, there's not a – I don't know that there is a smarter group of people than our listeners who watch on the video here. I don't know if this comes out of Twitch or – you have to adapt or die.
Well, that's true. That's true.
It is
sports,
true.
Yeah. It moves so, too mean, fast, not too.
And oh, here's one. Dell sucks.
Dell okay. sucks is what they
All
said.
Right. Well, I see these are the smartest people. These are really, really the best people that you could possibly have. Here is the best window you could possibly have. Gulf Coast window. Jim Fiume's windows. It just doesn't get any better than the Gulf Coast window. If you're looking for quality, if you're looking for security, if you're looking for privacy, you can't hear. I mean, you're not going to hear, you know, all the stuff that's going on in the streets. If you live close to a, if you live close to a highway, if you live close to a train track, I mean, Gulf Coast windows are going to shut that down. You're not. You can get double pane, double strength, and you're not hearing a thing out there. Plus, you know, it's a lot harder for the bad guys to get in these windows because they're just so durable. You want to guard against a hurricane. They got hurricane windows. It's any kind of window that you want. But here's the deal. I mean, you're getting the best, period. You're getting the best in service. You're getting the best in quality. You're getting the best warranty. You're getting the best. When you go with Gulf Coast Windows, you're just getting the best. This is not, we're not skimping, we're not saving. We are just going to get the best. So, you're building or you're replacing windows. If you're replacing windows, I mean, come on. Don't put something flimsy in there. Put the best. GulfCoastWindows.com, 713-849-5454. Tell Jim Fiume you heard it right here.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How much of the All-Star Weekend did you guys watch?
Lance can't hear you. He's talking to Melissa.
Oh, he's...
So I will answer your question. I watched very little. I think I watched the last 8 buckets of the Rising Stars game, and anything else I saw was on clips on Twitter.
Yeah, I was just watching Twitter.
Like the Rising Stars versus whatever All-Star team they had yesterday, the one they played in the semifinal. I do know one thing. Dalton Connect didn't get the memo that you should try defensively. That guy didn't try at all, but that's my...
Well,
my,
you can't come in there as my a one
takeaway.
And try.
My one He's takeaway. Already- You're supposed to. Did Adam Silver say he's going to have a conversation?
Yeah, but you can't. If you're him, you can't, like, risk. Look at him. He's the most, like, he shouldn't be at a game. Now, I know it's not typical All-Star, you know. It's Rising Stars. But you can't come in there and try too hard if you're just getting in. You're going to. You know how there's different rules in prison where you can't do certain things? You can't, like, you got to go to the top bunk if you're a new guy, or you got to do this, or you pee sitting down so you don't splash water all over the place. That's kind of the same thing with NBA All-Star game. You can't try hard and make somebody look bad. Remember when Kobe D'd up LeBron James, and LeBron was like, "What is happening?" And Kobe's like, "Yeah, I'm just going to take it to you this whole quarter." And LeBron was completely ruined for the rest of the year.
So I heard that LeBron didn't play or something?
Yeah, he's a little banged up. So he broke a streak of 20 straight All-Star games, but I think he's trying to get right. Now that they've got Luka, I think he's like, we need to give this a legit chance. He feels like he's got an actual chance to win at a high level again.
That's fine, but you likely weren't ever going to play.
You don't think so?
So tell people so someone else could have gone.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever was going to play in that game. I don't think he was really taken to the final
him.
Hours before he figured he
I don't
couldn't
blame
play.
Him. This dude is
however
old he
is. I'm not
blaming
him,
is.
But, you know, just make the announcement. Hey, I'll be at the festivities to support
yeah, it came out in the
morning, NBA, but I'm not going to play. But you could have let people know a week ago. It's unlikely. I'm dealing with something, and let someone else get in there.
Oh, well, yeah, you could have done
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you could have. I bet, it would have been a nice experience for somebody else. But this is like old, I mean... Dude, never ever. Everybody else is 1, 2, 3 Cancun. Like I was thinking, what? All the other guys in the league are all like, yeah, I'm off, I'm out, beep, I'm gone. And here, this dude every year has got to be there.
I'm not blaming him for not playing. Just maybe have some foresight. I will say this: our good friend used to be on the show all the time, Brian Geltzeiler. He blames LeBron, Curry, and Durant for the current state of what the All-Star game is. He said,
I don't even remember it. You
mentioned Kobe. Well, he did it over the weekend. You mentioned Kobe. He said those guys were supposed to take the baton from Kobe and make this an event that people cared about. Instead, they have allowed lack of effort to be a big thing. Because Darius Garland even said it this, I think even either yesterday before the game or Saturday. Hey, I wasn't planning on playing hard, but if Curry plays hard, I'll play hard. So,
how did so
they're
so
taking
Jared
their
Jackson
cues from those
said
guys.
He was going to D people up.
He didn't press
I
anyone.
I knew he didn't do
so
all that crap.
The thought. From,
see, I didn't want. I made a choice. I had a choice, Dell. I had a choice between Saturday Night Live 50-year, like 3-hour show, or NBA All-Star Game, and it was like an easy choice for me. And I got to see Steve Martin. I got to see Eddie Murphy doing an invitation of Tracy Morgan in front of Tracy Morgan. I was like, I can't watch All-Star. And I used to love All-Star basketball games.
Yeah,
I just can't.
Well, I had a choice too. I had a choice too, and I watched Four Nations and USA Canada.
Well, that was Saturday night.
Well, that's Saturday night.
Well, what did you watch last night?
Oh, last night I was traveling. We were traveling.
Well, this is the issue that Geltzai has. You mentioned Four Nations, where U.S. and Canada, they fought each other 3 times within 9 seconds to start the match, or the game, excuse me. And then you look at the three stars who you would say the old heads in the NBA, they dropped the ball. Under their watch, this product has become unwatchable. This weekend.
Is it so much, or is it this time? Because, listen, the NFL, the Pro Bowl game
they
got like this.
They had to quit it. It was a joke.
It got just like this. I don't know that these sports are all-star. I don't know that all-star games fit this.
Except here's the thing. Look, the Pro Bowl is a football thing, physicality. You could literally get seriously hurt. Who got seriously hurt in an NBA all-star game other than when, like, Kobe broke his nose because Dwayne elbowed him?
Or was that a regular season game? This can't be an excuse. You're right. They play in the Olympics. They play hard in the off-season at different pickup games. There's no excuses not to play hard.
You don't have to be game 6 of a conference final type effort, but you could try to stay in front of a guy.
You're only going to be in there for, sometimes 18 minutes. Play hard for 18 minutes.
There are levels to playing hard. Like, we know in the past, the game wasn't physical for 35 of the total minutes, but guys tried to stay in front of each other. People weren't jogging or walking on the floor.
Yeah.
That's what it had become, and they tried to fix it. So as bad as people are blaming the product, I don't blame Adam Silver for it. I blame the players. You drove them to try to find a way, and that's why you've got Dalton Connect guarding Dame Lillard in a game where Dalton Connect has no business playing in the game.
I mean, I don't know, but they had a tournament kind of thing going on this year. And did they dangle the carrot like you get if you win it you get $1 million?
Yeah, there was some financial. Financial background there. Yes. Yeah. What did you say?
Well, if you win it, you get $1 million or Cardi B or something.
Stephon
Diggs. I thought you said Cardi B.
No, they weren't offering up rap stars. That's Stephon Diggs' bag.
Well,
anyway.
How hard would they play if Megan Thee Stallion was?
I don't know if we should be putting women in the position.
Well, he's just asking a question, Del.
Would they play harder?
You're the only one asking the question.
Is there a question? I think they'd play harder.
I think that's an easy question to answer.
Mm. I think they'd play harder. I'm not advocating for offering her up against her will. But I'm just John asked a question and I'm giving an answer. Like. That's it. Would they play harder if the winner? But wait, the winner isn't one person though, John.
Exactly.
No,
there's another thing there too.
Not yet.
Line them up.
Oh, okay. See, this is why you should have shut it down.
You're right. It's on me.
Yeah.
To me, I got to get guys blocked up better. Put us in position not to get our quarterback hit.
Why'd you entertain this at all,
Lance?
That's on me. That's Lance Slowick. I completely went into that one unprepared and unable to adjust. I did not make halftime adjustments at all.
What do you think? Did you guys see the video of Cardi B and Steph Diggs?
What was it?
From this weekend?
All-Star weekend? No.
Did you see it?
No. What happened?
I'll share it. It's interesting.
Okay.
It's very interesting. They're getting out of a car, but they're it's very interesting.
Okay.
I don't know what the heck they're doing. Maybe you guys can figure it out. But it looks like they're bending over and they're in the car, but they're bending over. And I don't know.
Something was happening?
Not sexual. No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I'm Googling Stephon Diggs.
But I'm wondering if there
wasn't
some kind of something going on. You'll see it. They both bend over at different times.
Were they dancing?
No, they were in the car. Okay. I'll share the video. It's interesting.
He says not sexual. Okay.
It's very interesting. Maybe somebody can explain it to me.
Cardi B in these pictures is bending over a lot.
They're both bending over.
I wonder if her
times.
Back hurts. And that's why would she doing that? Because it's lower. I wonder if she's like bending over to stretch lower back. Because this is she bending over at the waist or
at the knees?
At the waist.
I'm not sure if there was a straw involved.
A straw.
Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Now.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm
watching
sure.
the video now.
I'm not sure, but you guys maybe can tell me. You guys can be the judge.
He's
what's
singing.
Going on there. It looks interesting. That's all. 713-780-3776. You know what else is interesting? Having hair.
Wow.
Not interesting. You're not interesting if you don't have hair. You're just not as interesting anyway. Okay? You might be interesting somewhat if you're totally bald, but you're more interesting if you have hair. At least you are to the opposite sex. They love running their hands through your hair. They love that. Okay? Don't let them down. Don't let your significant other down by not having hair to run their hands through, okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying. If you're looking for the best way to get that hair, Doc Linville is here for you. Either you can, one of two things, you can get the PRP, which is like a fertilizer. It stimulates the growth in your hair. Or you can get the resodding, which is taking the hair, the neografting, taking the hair from the side and the back, and putting it on the top of your head. This is the way to do it. And do it now. Don't wait. Please don't wait till you're bald, because it's too late. It's too much work. Catch it now while you're starting to recede or while that bald spot is starting to grow in the back. Do it now. Do not wait until. And if you're, listen, you could need Doc Linville at 20, 30, 40, whatever. I mean, I didn't do it until recently, and I wish I had. Boy, I wish I had. Would have been much easier. But here's the deal. You're looking for a great way to get hair. There's one way to get hair. 975hair.com, 975hair.com. All right. She lost her AirPods. That's
yeah.
Why.
You made it seem nefarious.
I didn't know. I mean, I was just, I was saying, it was like she bends down and then gets up, and then he bends down.
Well,
that,
but the camera's on the whole time.
You said there's a straw involved?
Yes. I didn't know. I'm just asking. That's all.
He's throwing things out there on people.
So she had lost her AirPods. Okay. All right. That makes sense. All right.
But
you guys immediately went to some. There was some sex going on.
We asked. Okay? Is that what you're?
Yeah,
we're
you said
working
it
off of what you're talking
in
about.
In your tone.
Did you see this? It was.
I don't know. Maybe you guys
can
tell me.
Everything is sex with you too.
Maybe you can tell me what it is. I'm not sure.
You ought to read the comments. The people in the comments of that video are like, oh, my God, Offset is going to kill this guy. I thought we already knew this was going on, though. Why is this something
new?
It's not new.
Well, the headline on it was, oh, this is the guy that when Cardi B was pregnant, she was with Steph.
They're saying some ugly stuff about dudes in this.
Yeah.
They're making some comments.
Community D.
Well, they're saying a lot of other stuff.
Okay.
The community, the streets are saying other things about him.
Offset can't be happy. No, can't be happy. I did learn, we're going to play What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence in about 7 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, so get yours ready. One thing I learned is that how about the Rockets are worth $5.7 billion right now?
Yeah.
Top five. A little surprising to me, the Golden State. A lot of it has to do with your stadium deal, whether or not you own your own stadium. If it's new, a lot of it has to do with that. Everybody is part of the NBA's TV package, which is $76 billion over 11 years. So there is that. I mean, that rises. That makes it rise. But Tillman, just back in 2017, bought it for $2.2, and now they're worth $5.7. Wow, in large part because of his stadium deal. I'm surprised. Like, the Celtics aren't up. The Celtics apparently have a really terrible stadium deal.
Right. They don't own it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's terrible. And that's why financially the idea was that they're starting to lose money. Like, everyone said, what? How's this possible? they went through and showed it all, you know, as much as they can. And their deal's so bad with the stadium that they're the outland of cash that they're having to give to players is they're actually – they lost money last year. And that's why they're starting to move certain players is they have to offset that, which did not sit well with their fans, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I would have thought the Lakers were higher. The Lakers were, what, fourth, third or fourth? Anyway, that's very interesting. That was one thing that I learned this weekend. I also learned that the Cougs, I didn't realize this, the game day hasn't been here for, I don't know. I think, were they here in 2017 or something? But basketball game day is coming this Saturday for the Cougs game, which is nice. We're going to be here. We got to fill up that. You got to be there in the morning, everybody, and fill up that stadium so that ESPN knows that we are a basketball town. The Cougs, number 6, beat Arizona this weekend, which is a huge win at Arizona. Are you kidding me? Beating the 13th-ranked team. The Cougs taking total control of the Big 12. Very nicely done, Cougs.
That was close. That game was like they almost blew it down the stretch with some turnovers. But then you had and Arizona. You know, Eric Houston did a good job of trapping those high screen and rolls up at the top. They thought they were going to get an easy look. And Houston, they actually did get a couple easy looks when Houston didn't rotate. But Houston will not let you get a good look off the dribble. Like, you have to move the ball against them. And luckily, Arizona missed an open three at the end of that game, and then Houston salted it away with some free throws. So that was good. That's a good win, man. Going on the road, it was very raucous. It was a good win for the Cougs.
Yep, Cougs 6th. Now, squarely in, a number 2 seed, so just keep on going, keep on doing this down the stretch. You don't have to be a 1 seed. You don't have to be a 1 seed. A 2 seed is just as good, so a 2 seed, they've been 1 seed before. I think it puts a little bit more pressure on you. So a 2 seed, I think, is really, really nice. You got almost the same route that a 1 seed does, so very, very well done by the Cougs this weekend. And we got to show up on Saturday, people. Got to show up and show out for ESPN game day coming to the Cougs. So be out there, be early, and get crazy with Jay Billis and the boys out there. We also had Alex Bregman signing this weekend. Honestly, looking at him in a Red Sox jersey, any thoughts?
I don't love it, but, you know, that's just because he's been – like, how would you like it if your ex-wife, you know, immediately was with an NFL wide receiver or whatever? Like, you'd have some feelings. You'd have some feelings about it initially. You know, it's not great, but it's okay. I'm not mad. There is a whole cottage industry of hate for Alex Bregman now, and it is a weird thing to me because, like, we actively as a team, you make an offer, he didn't take it like most of the players, like Carlos Correa. George didn't even get an offer. But this is pretty standard, you know. We moved Kyle Tucker because he wasn't going to get an offer. I don't know why Bregman catches it, because people
Garrett
got in their
Cole
feelings.
Didn't get an offer.
Yeah, Garrett Cole. So people just get in their feelings because they were.
Charlie Morton didn't get an offer.
No, they just thought Bregman was coming back, so now they're all upset. And that was really just that was Scott Boras manipulating the media is all that was. At no point did the Astros address it as though this were something that they were strongly in consideration of. At no point. Dana Brown even said, I owe him a phone call. You know, the door's open. Anything's possible. He just said stuff like that. He never said, you know, we're getting close or we really feel good about this. He never said stuff like that. And yet people took it as a personal affront that Alex Bregman chose someplace else. He went to free agent market. He didn't get the long-term deal he wanted, but he did get $40 million a year guaranteed for 3 years with outs after both years. I can't see him taking the outs. I mean, the only way you take the outs is if you can get a five-year deal, and that's all. At this point, it's just a length of service deal that Scott Boras is looking for. And notice that Boston said, look, we'll give you more, but we ain't going more than 3 years. You know why? Because you're not sure on Alex Bregman as a hitter. You're just not sure on him right now. He's not been the same guy since 2019. I mean, he's had his moments. And he's exactly what Boston needs to try to get over the top. But Houston made look, I don't think the offer for Kyle Tucker would have been legitimate. That was a pretty legitimate offer to to Alex Bregman. Yeah. We knew it wasn't going to get it done was the problem. We knew they wanted $200 million.
Well, I mean, it's more money and more years than he got from Boston, but he did get per year, he got a lot more. A lot of it's deferred, but he did get a lot more.
And he's got outs after every year.
I'm most of these signings, most all of them, there is buyer's remorse at some point. The way that this dude hits in Boston, though, it's too small a sample size.
It's Houston, though. He's got the bandbox in the left field.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect for him. It is perfect for him. How many times is he going to go off the monster? I mean, he is going to hit line drive after line drive off the monster. It's going to be it is going to be a good play. Now, he's going to play second base. They're not going to move Devers. They're going to put him at second base. And, you know, I'll move to second base for $40 million a year. But it is there will come a point. If he continues, I don't know. Is he going to start slow there too? I don't know. In that ballpark, he might have an easier time. Although it's not much different than Minute Maid. It's just not that much different. Whatever the reason is, Alex Bregman early in the season just can't hit. And if he goes on another one where he's hitting 170 or 160 in the beginning of May, now people are going to be pissed. I mean, they're going to be pissed at $40 million. And this is what we did this offseason, Alex Bregman. And look at how he can't play. He did have a message, Dell. You got it. He had a message for Houston Astros fans, and how when asked about the difficulty of leaving Houston, I mean, I know a lot of you don't think so. He didn't take $156 million. He got that offer and didn't want that. He wanted more money. Blah 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 blah. But when you spent your whole career here, drafted by this organization, winning championships with this organization, here's what he had to say.
How difficult was it for you at the end to leave an organization that you had been with your entire career?
Oh, definitely difficult. I have so much respect for the organization, top to bottom, all the players.
It's short. He had a longer message in the Chronicle that he sent out for people to see.
Yeah, he did. He had a really nice goodbye, farewell, love you fans, all that. He did. Not all the fans are reciprocal on that, but he loves the fans, and I'm never going to hold it against him. You know what? His contract was up. He did sign when he was younger. He got that money, but he did stay longer than most guys stay in a place, and he won championships here, and he came up with some big, really, really, really big hits. So, you know what? I'm not going to hold that against him. Of course, I didn't hold it against Beltran either, like the fans did.
No.
I mean, what the hell?
Guys, yeah. He gets
$100 million from the Mets. Go.
Yeah, that was a big deal. It wasn't great to be used as a second. And I think the Astros were used a little bit by Boris trying to get what he wanted. But it's clear the market was not there for
– Well.
He misread the market on Alex Bregman. But he got a CYA three-year contract. Yep. The $40 million is the CYA, the AAV, with the outs year after year. The only reason you put those out, I mean, Alex Bregman's not turning down $40 million a year. And he won't get a deal worth $40 million a year moving forward. He's not going to. No. It has to be about length of service is the only way he can.
Well, now at 120 over 3 years, he can take 27 over four and, you know, and or 30 over even less. He could take, 26, 27 over four and hit the $200 million mark. So, I mean, when you get the first three are 40, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
But you're saying at the end of that contract.
At the end of the when it's all contract, said and done, he's going to play 7 years.
But if he gets out,
$200 million.
But he can't get out. Like, I don't see him getting out. Unless somebody offers him, I mean, 430 is the same money. It doesn't make any sense to get out. So you'd really have to be getting like $35 million a year. And that would be maybe after year two you would get out. So I don't know. No hard feelings for me with Alex Bregman. I never really thought real. I mean, it was a fun little thought exercise about what do we do if Alex Bregman comes back. But it never. I just didn't feel like that same. Like they don't have the money. They spent the money already. They got guys. Like they already spent it. They were already talking Altuve in left field. Well, we can't talk about it on air. But you saw what I sent you the other day, didn't you, John?
About
never mind. I'll tell you. Okay. I'll text it to you.
All right. All right, we got a break when we come back. Okay, 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn? There's something that you learned. It doesn't have to be about sports. It could be about anything. This is one of our best, our favorite segments of the week. 713-780-3776. What did you learn? You get one sentence to tell us what you learned this weekend. 713-780-3776. Lance, I want to learn about Underdog Fantasy.
Well, then what you need to know is that basketball season, they had All-Star Game. They had Four Nations. I kind of faded Justin Thomas. I don't know if that was a good idea to finish in the top 20. I know he was minus three in the third round, but or something like that. So I don't think I didn't get there with that. But they've got PGA. They've got UFC. They've got bare knuckle fighting. They've got Four Nations. They've got NHL, college basketball, pro basketball. Basically, they have everything. They have a statistics. If you have a statistic for it, Underdog Fantasy can create one and go higher or lower. That's your job, is to pick higher and lower. They have profit boosters. They have discounted picks, you know, discounted statistics, where instead of Jimmy Butler having 21.5 points higher or lower, they take it down to 16.5. And there's all these different factors that allow you easier access to money, a better chance to take your basketball knowledge, your sports knowledge, and put it to good use by deciding whether some statistic is going to go higher, if it's going to be higher than that statistic or lower than the one that they have offered. You pick between two and like seven players. You know, you can win up to 1,000 times your original play. But don't forget, to do this, you need to download the app. You need to use promo code Lance on your first deposit, and you're going to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash and a free pick. This is so much fun to play along with the games while you're watching them and use your sports knowledge for good, not evil, and good is money in your pocket. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncbgambling.org. We literally have two lines open, John.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Let's go. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Off to a slow start. You guys are really, really good at this, so let's go.
Not calling. What is wrong with you? These lines are already, it's like a standing room only concert every single week we play this. And this week they're like, they're so tired. Melissa came in here. She was out until like 2:30 hosting parties and stuff yesterday.
Well, there was nothing going. I mean, honestly, this weekend, I mean, this was like an all-star weekend.
Well,
basketball,
for sports,
it's like
yeah.
Baseball all-star. I mean, there's literally... I mean, we had the Cougs play, but that's about it sports-wise. But I'll tell you this. I watched the hockey, and here is my. This is what I learned this week in one sentence. If you boo our national anthem, the Tkachuk brothers will kick your ass. That's what I learned this weekend.
Yeah.
So don't boo our national anthem.
Did we win that fight, by the way?
Well,
one of the fights I saw was not great.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Not three fights in 9 seconds. Are you kidding me? That is great hockey. That's Eddie Shore hockey right there. All right, that's Eddie Shore hockey.
But it was on. Okay, let's get these
intense
calls.
You want to talk about an All Star weekend that's intense? That replaced NHL All Star weekend. Wow. That is some. They're playing hard. They want to win that.
Is this the Four Nations segment, or is this the loaded board full of people who want to get in segment?
Oh, is it loaded now? Well, let's go. You said.
Go ahead, Del.
All right, let's go. Start it.
Run the clock.
Let's go with Ocho. Ocho, what have you learned?
Yeah, I learned that a lion's tongue has spines that can rip off a person's skin in only a few licks.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of figured that was the case.
Wow, how about that? Who's next, Del?
JP, what have you learned?
Good morning. I learned that when you volunteer to coach your son's 4- and 5-year-old t-ball game or league, you don't receive a lot of feedback when you tell your buddies. Please say a prayer for me.
Yeah. Any youth sports, you're going to get a lot of feedback.
Oh, a lot of feedback. A lot of feedback. Yep. Who's next, Dell?
We go to Corey. Corey, what have you learned?
Hey, guys. After 10 years being married, you can still be thankful for birthdays.
That's nice.
Yeah.
He learned to be thankful for birthdays.
That's good. You know, it doesn't always have to be salacious.
Yeah, no. That's a nice thing that you learned this weekend. That's excellent. Congratulations. It is nice to have, after all these years, to have birthdays and people appreciate you. I had that last week, just last week. It was nice.
See?
Who's next, Al?
Red Panda, what have you learned?
Morning, gentlemen. I learned over the weekend that Astro Studio analysis, Mike Stanton, Twitter got hacked.
Ooh,
what happened?
Mike Stanton's Twitter got hacked.
If you missed it, we talked about it on Friday. Well, you guys didn't because you were lazy. But Mike Stanton responded to what appeared to be a fake OnlyFans creator account. And the tweet was something like, hey guys, if you respond to this tweet with a hi, I'll send nudies and videos.
What? I don't want that from Mike Stanton.
And Mike Stanton's account said, hi.
Oh, Mike Stanton said, yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Hacked.
We tried to discuss it and work through it on the show, and I fell on the side of someone took hold of that account. Or Mike Stanton is not internet savvy. Either way.
Nah, I think it's
not. I'm going to go with someone took hold of that account. So, yeah, that's what he's talking about.
I mean, it's not a big deal.
Hi. Where are my nudies?
Hi.
Post a waving hand emoji, and I will send you nudes in your DM.
Well,
I mean, it's not. You get the. You don't even have to even. And Twitter? Are you kidding me? It's like sometimes it's like you porn. If you have the wrong keyword that you put in search, it's amazing some of the stuff that shows up. Like, hey, what does that have to do with what I just searched?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Let's move to Peter. Peter, what have you learned?
Morning, gentlemen. I learned that Draymond Green was not a fan of the new All-Star format, and let it be known live on air.
Yeah, he was. That's not exactly great for the league. Draymond is the guy who doesn't care what he says in front of the league. Like, why would you have Draymond involved in anything broadcast-wise?
Right. No, he did not.
He basically laid into the All-Star format, and it's like, and you know, they had Mr. Beast on there. I don't know what they're appealing. I don't think they're appealing to basketball fans necessarily. Everyone thinks they need to appeal to, like, my kids. So they put Mr. Beast on.
You know, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart is an entertainment-based guy, so they're trying to reach out to the All-Star Weekend set with Mac McClung won dunk contest again. I learned that people just don't even care that a guy can literally jump over a car, grab a ball off someone's head.
It's a big
dunk
weekend for you guys, at least on Saturday night.
Well, the Whites are having a huge year.
McClung
right
won. Yeah. Hero won. You guys are having
the
a
Whites
renaissance.
The Whites are really
although
killing
McClung's
it right
won
now
3 years
Cooper
in a row.
Cooper DeJean intercepted.
Yes, that happened last
Pat
weekend,
Mahomes.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Since January.
Yes, I'm aware.
2025 appears to be the year
of
White guys.
It's the year of the Whites.
Yeah, it's got, white guys.
Yeah,
least.
For a decade, you guys stay losing. Look at the comeback.
I was never felt good claiming Luka or Jokic. Like I don't feel like that's us.
They're not white Americans, certainly.
Yeah.
Let's go to Tom. Tom, what have you learned?
No, guys, Tom on a mobile here.
Sorry about that, Tom.
Guys, I learned a fun little baseball quip. If there's grass on the field, you play ball.
No, that's not a baseball quip that's not something we say.
No. I thought it was if there's grass on the field, she's in play.
What? Yeah, there's all these.
I thought that was a phrase.
Well, he's
Thomas.
Tom on a mobile. On a mobile. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wasn't sure. Yeah.
Either way, yeah. We move. Let's go to Cowboy Trav. What have you learned?
Well, unfortunately, I learned do not listen to Mike Tyson motivational quotes and get on Facebook and call your mother-in-law a liberal B-I-T-C-H.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not.
Wow.
Why would you do that?
You learned that?
First of all, don't do that to your mother-in-law. Secondly, don't do that on Facebook.
No.
That's too predictable to do something like that on Facebook.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Facebook thing that someone would do. That's why people make fun of Facebook.
Right, right. Don't call your mother.
He learned not to call his mother-in-law the B-word?
Yeah, it took you how long to learn
goodness.
That?
He thought it was fine until he tried it.
And then it didn't work out for him. Imagine that. We got three more to get to. Let's go to Ben. Ben, what have you learned?
Yeah, I learned that always a bridesmaid, never a bride. With Mac McClung, I mean, I think the NBA is still punking this dude. I mean,
one sentence.
You got to learn to keep it concise.
One sentence, Ben.
You got to learn to keep it concise.
Appreciate it. If you call back next week, make sure it's just one sentence.
You can finish your thought next week.
Yeah, there is this phrase too. It's just different. Your ass is grass, and I'm going to mow it. That means like you know you're about to get your butt kicked.
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways to go about the grass stuff. Let's go to Will. Will, what have you learned?
I learned that even though Scottie Scheffler is still number one, Ludwig Oberg has arrived.
Ludwig Oberg is a really good
player.
Is this
player. Will Doctor?
Will Ludwig Oberg.
That's Will Doctor calling the show.
Yeah. Will Doctor, because Will Doctor wants to talk golf. That's why.
I know. That's the joke.
That's what he learned.
I know. Will Doctor, who has the Saturday show, he still does that with Charlie Epps? Is he still the co-host with Charlie Epps?
Yeah,
he is.
Okay.
Yeah, I come up here on the weekend and work every weekend. And Will's right in there. Yeah, it's Will and Abigail and Charlie Epps.
Yeah, nice. You can hear the Charlie Epps golf show.
Abigail's in there.
She's the producer. Nice. What, at 8 a.m.? Is that when that show comes
on? It's pretty early. Yeah.
Saturday's 8 a.m., I think. Maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe it's 7.
Our
final call. Let's go to Lee. Lee, what have you learned?
Hey there, guys. This weekend I learned that it might be kind of expensive, and it's not at all related to racing, but the president looks pretty good driving around there in the front of the pack at the Daytona 500.
That's a run-on sentence. Was that just one sentence?
I feel like that wasn't it. I know this, this, and I know this, this, and ellipses, dash. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt like that.
And someone looked great driving in front of them.
Did Trump do that?
I don't know. I didn't see
that. I thought he said the president.
President of NASCAR or president of the United States?
No, I just said the president. I'm assuming.
There's only one president.
Trump is running the pace car?
Was he driving it?
Was he driving the pace car?
When's the last time? Trump's from New York. When's the last time he drove? People in New York don't have cars.
He drives his golf cart.
He's driven that before.
Yeah.
But like somebody
he
from New York.
He drives it on his own greens.
I've got friends who live in New York and have for years, like Andrew Perloff. And it's like those people don't drive. They don't have cars. They don't drive. No. They don't have license in some cases. If you're from there, he's like, for what? Why would I have a car here?
There's for no who? Reason. For what?
Yeah.
Yep.
All it's going to do is just sit around and collect
that
dust.
It, Del?
Yeah. Well, it is 8:02. Yeah, that'll be all.
That is all. Well done, people. You got out to a slow start, and you kind of broke the rules a little bit. But well done, as always. Congratulations.
So I'm looking it up, and he was in whatever they call his armored car. I'm sure that has a name, too. And they drove that around.
Oh, that's the Tesla car.
I don't think so.
What's that big car called? The Monster Mobile?
The Cybertruck?
Yeah, Cybertruck.
If he wasn't in a
Cybertruck. Was he in that?
No, he was in the armored car that the president's traveling. And they drove that around Daytona. So I guess that's what he was talking about.
Oh, nice. You know what? I just feel like I wish we could change this thing into everybody starts their call like Tom on a mobile.
Hey, guys.
You know, that's just the best.
By the way, Des said big weekend for Tech. I knew Mac McClung went to Tech. I didn't realize that Oberg went to Tech.
Ludwig Oberg.
That doesn't sound like somebody who played golf in the
panhandle. Yeah, it does. There's a lot of Ludwigs in at Tech. Yes,
in
absolutely.
Lubbock?
I learned Elon Musk does one hell of an Antonio Cromartie impression.
He's 13. He's a 13-by-4 guy.
Oh, are you going to keep that same energy?
Most recently a conservative influencer that he allegedly impregnated.
Ashley? Isn't he married?
She's a little upset with him.
Isn't he married?
I don't know if they're married, but he does have a wife
partner.
And kids.
Yeah.
He has a life with someone else. He has a life with someone else and kids,
and he's poking around, shooting stuff.
Well, he's got 13. He's got 13-by-4.
Poke and shoot?
Shooting stuff.
Oh, he's the Sam. Oh, I see what he is. He's the Sean Kemp of cryptocurrency.
Game Day Men's Health, thank you for bringing us What Have You Learned This Weekend in One Sentence. Game Day Men's Health is where you get your test. I feel great because of Game Day Men's Health. If you're somebody that wants to feel great, go to GameDayMensHealth.com. Right now, if you're somebody that needs help with your roof, Brinkman Quality Roof is the place to go. BrinkmanQuality.com. We've got rain. We've got snow. We've got hurricanes. I mean, we've got high winds all the time. Have you checked your roof? Have you looked at it? How long have you been living in your house? If you've been there 10, 15 years, and you have any issue whatsoever, let's say we have, you know, huge rains, and all of a sudden your roof, there's leaks, you ruin your furniture, you flood your house, how are you going to pay? You know what? The insurance company ain't paying. They're not paying because you haven't done anything to make sure that your roof is good. Why don't you get a quality checkup from Brinkman Quality? Let them come to your home. Let them see. Do not use the guy that knocks on your door. Jason Brinkman told me, he said, we get more business from those guys because we got to go and fix what they screwed up. It happens all the time. Brinkman Quality has been around for 50 years. Quality is in the name. Brinkman, BrinkmanN. Make sure that you check your roof. Make sure that you get the certificate that says, we did work on our roof. It was fine. You got to pay up, insurance company, because if you don't have that and you've been doing nothing for years, you're not getting paid. BrinkmanQuality.com. That's BrinkmanQuality.com. Tell Jason you heard it right here.